Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all your work, and thank you for your great love of Jesus the Christ. Yeah, Mike Garner's been making a real impact on me. You know, he uses a computer all the time. So I'm going to use my phone somewhere today to share something with you later, I think. In fact, he just texted me. He said, thank you for the crown, the cradle, and the cross. That was way cool, Mike. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, just before we get started, this is children are dismissed to their classes right now. Thank you. Steve, thank you so much, man of the Most High God that you are. I want to let you know that I've been, it's been an interesting journey. For some of you, you know that I was in Iceland for a couple of weeks with my family over there and turned 70. And on my birthday, several of my family came to know Jesus Christ. And I thought, Lord, could there be a better birthday present than that? And not only that, the Lord kept me up till 4 in the morning, which is way outside my bedtime, you know. And I was shocked that it was that time. I just was so overwhelmed. But I've been in Peru, and about 15 months ago, Dr. Warren Frankel, he's my doc, and also he started his Healing Hands ministry. And he asked about 15 months ago if I'd be willing to go to Peru with them. And he said he wanted an evangelist to come. And I said, I'm not an evangelist. Put that in your, would you finally get over that? I am not an evangelist. I do the work of an evangelist, but I'm not an evangelist. Anyway, we went down there 15 months ago, and we saw a little over 600 and some people come to Christ. Wasn't that awesome? And I mean, amen. And then last August, we went August 5th to the 12th, we went back again, and we saw a little over 1,400 men and women come to know Jesus Christ. And then I just got back again. This time the church has asked us to come back and minister to the people that came to Christ, and start to set into them that wonder and awe. And I want to tell you just a couple quick stories before we get into God's eternal breath, because it's all what we are. I reminded them, there's some security guards, and now these guys, when you think of security guards, are different there. These are the guys that watch over politicians. You go into their secure building, and the whole wall, this gigantic wall, is nothing but screens, computer screens of the whole city. You can see everything that's going on at every signal and intersection, at banks and every stores, everything that's going on. And when I was there last in August, there were 60 of those men, and all 60 of them came to Christ. Isn't that amazing? All 60. I mean, how God does pulls this stuff off. I mean, it's just like the most amazing journey you've ever seen. And so they heard I was coming back, and they asked me to come and minister, start them off, get them going. So I said, okay, do they have Bibles? And they said, most of them don't. I said, well, can you get, yeah, we got them Bibles. So we got them, this Espanol Bibles, you know, and Spanish things. And it was so fun. I'm talking to them, and I'm saying, now look it, guys, here it is. I said, God gives you, you can believe in Christ, or you can come to know Him. I said, what do you want to do? If you get your choice to be a believer or actually come to know Him, what would you choose? Man, they were choosing come to know Him. I said, well, He gives you a faith so that you can believe Him, so that you can receive His grace, so that now you want to know Him. Now you want to know Him. It's different than just believing and getting into the stuff, into a system. And I said, so, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be able to start, get in the Gospel of John. Always read the Word of God out loud. I want you to get in the Gospel of John, and I want you to read it 3 times as fast as you can out loud. For many of the things did Jesus do in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you'll have life. And all of a sudden, I don't know a lot of the Spanish. I mean, I need to regroup it a little bit, you know. I mean, anyway, high school was a long time ago. And in our senior class, you had to walk in and speak in Spanish, ask questions in Spanish. If you ask them in English, the teacher wouldn't give you any time of day. So I know there must be some words there. But I hand out the Bible, and one of the guys came in his civvies. That's civilian clothes, civvies, in case you weren't in the military. Shame on you, but anyway, he was in his civvies. He wanted to be there because I was there, and I gave out the Bibles, and I told him that Gospel of John, and I could hear him say to his friend, he goes, where is Juan? Juan means John, okay? Juan means John. He goes, where's Juan? Where's Juan? And all of a sudden I asked the guy, I said, give me one of those Bibles. I said, Juan is on page 772. And I wish you could have seen what happened. I mean, it was glory to the Almighty. Then the Air Force, they have an Air Force there. Now, their Air Force isn't like ours. They have Cessna 210s. Yeah, you know what that is. And they have helicopters. Okay, they do have helicopters. And so I was going there, and they asked me to come back. Last time we saw all the cadets come. Now those cadets are gone. Now there's new cadets. There was 14 cadets there and an officer. And the thrill of going there again, the Air Force asked us to come, and every single one of those cadets, including the officer, came to receive Jesus Christ. It was just so holy. And I wanted to tell you that thank you. That over the last, in 15 months, we have seen over 2,300 men and women come to know Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think of that. I told my wife, I said, "Hun, do you realize what I'm saying?" I said, "How in the world our Lord does this?" I mean, over 2,000 individuals, over 2,300 individuals came to know Jesus Christ. That'll change their families. That'll change their work. I mean, and I want to thank you for your prayers and time. So this is today, and I want to, if you look up on the computer screen, thank Robert for that. I'm telling you what, I don't know how God gifted that man to do what he does. You know, he does all these instruments up here, and he's always barefoot. Did you notice that? He's always barefoot. And he's barefoot because it's holy ground. Isn't that true? It's holy ground. I mean, that's what the Lord told Moses, get your shoes off, dude. And I always like that. And I looked at this and I said, but look what he did. This message is the crown, the cradle, and the cross. And the way this message came into being was in 1989, the title. I haven't done it for a long, long time. Mike asked me to preach a Christmas message evangelistic, and I said, okay. I thought about this because in 1989, I started church in 84, and so 5 years into this thing, we're about 1,000 people in the church. And I was, not only was I younger, I was more, opinionated maybe, animated, those kind of things in my youth, okay? And I was more expressive with my opinions. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm just sick and tired of this Christmas stuff. I'm just sick and tired of it. I think people come, and we've got 1,000 people coming, and they hear the Christmas story, and yeah, they know about the Christmas story, but they're really about the other stuff. And, you know, and I said, I don't know what to say. I want them to experience the wow, the whoa, are you kidding me? You know, that kind of a thing. And I don't know if it was a vision, I don't know if it was a dream, but that's when he gave me the crown, the cradle, and the cross. And I'm going to tell you what, on that day, the first time I did that, 1989, Christmas of 89, it just blew the hair back on everybody. And I wanted to give that to you today. I want to talk to you about it because the Christmas season, truthfully, in our country, is an absolutely great celebration. It's meant to be a celebration. They were asking me in Peru about what do we do. And I said, we decorate our homes. Our city gets decorated. I mean, we really do. You can see it everywhere. And you go, and for the most part, people are very pleasant, you know, for the most part. Now, there is a few people in parking spaces that have less than the Christian attitude. Although sometimes they let you know you're number one right off the get-go. They let you know, you know, and you say, praise God to you too, you know, that kind of a thing. And I said, but most of the time it's really good. And we really do enjoy the season. It's kind of, you look forward to it. We have Christmas lights on. In fact, we even put lights on our house. Chuck Blevins helped me do that. And, you know, we're climbing this thing, putting these things on my house. And in fact, it's really been fun because now my neighbor said, if you're putting lights on, I'm putting lights on. I said, pretty soon we're going to have the whole city block done. And, you know, we're in traditions. And that's where you need to, there are some in traditions you need to, I mean, Jim's here. There's some old people in that place, isn't there, Jim? I mean, we've seen them. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, but I want you to know there's a gift of giving. We love to do that. For most of us, it's a wonderful holiday and with friends and family. And I said, but Christmas, at least that first Christmas, it wasn't like this at all. You have to understand. I said, it was the physical expression of the love of God. It's the physical expression of the love of God. And sometimes we're so used to the story that we forget. It doesn't impress us anymore. I was remembering when I first heard that song years and years ago, Mary, Did You Know? When that thing was first written. That was a long time ago. Mary, Did You Know? Man, the first time I heard that song, I just started sobbing. Mary, Did You Know? that your baby boy, whew, do you know who's in you? Do you understand God Almighty is in you? Wow. I mean, think of these things. And so I think God's deep love for man, and no matter what the man was like, no matter what the man believed about God, Christmas is God's love to us. And so I wanted to get to you. I want to take us down a journey. And my hope is I would like to give you a summary of that story. It's overwhelming. None of us in this room were meant to be believers. I mean, the idea of being a belief in Christ, you will have eternal life. But the reason we become believers is so that we would earnestly seek Him. You know, when we talk about you're saved by faith through grace. Okay, you got this. Grace is the gift, okay? But God gives us faith so that we can believe Him, believe His Word, believe it, so that you can receive the gift. But once you get the gift of grace, the goal is that you would now want to seek Him. You want to go after Him, not the stuff, not a system. You want to go after Him. And that's why it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to Him must believe, you must believe, what? You must believe that He exists. And what does He do? He's the rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. Well, what's the reward? Him! Can He give you something, a greater reward than Himself? No. And that's why when you seek Him, you earnestly are a man and earnestly are a woman seeking Him, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And that's how you find all these gospel stories when men and women are in horrible places and all of a sudden they burst forth in song, because the joy of the Lord became their strength. So I want to take you on a journey. We're going to talk about the crown. We're going to talk about God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You've got to go to Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. We'll have it on the screen for you. And I want to tell you about this. Now remember, Isaiah is a prophet of the Lord. He is a mighty man of God. All right? Does he believe in the Lord? Absolutely. He believes in Him. He knows it's true. God's going to use that man. Use that man in a mighty way. The Holy Spirit's going to anoint that man. And I look at it, and I think it's not just coincidence that after he sees the Lord, and we'll talk about that, but when the seraphs come over and say, your sins have been forgiven, you are cleansed. Now who will go for us? And he says, send me. And it's after that. Look at the writings. Look at the writings of Isaiah. I mean, you read Isaiah, and I'm going to tell you what, he shook the earth. And God did send him, and he's still sending him right to this day. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. I saw him. I've never seen him. He said, I believe in him. Don't get me wrong, but I've never seen him. He was lofty, exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And I want you to know this, the train of his robe. Do not think of a man sitting in a throne with some kind of a long robe kind of hanging down there. Don't think of that. That's not what the Lord is. There is nothing in the presence of God that isn't alive. Nothing in His presence. Everything is alive. Everything. The train of His robe is alive. It's His glory. And it's a glory like you can't imagine. It's just full. And it's moving. And there's color. And there's magnificence. And it's beyond wow. I mean, there isn't a piece of furniture there. The altar cries out. There's a wheel there with eyeballs. Now that can get spooky to you, okay? I mean, there is nothing in the presence of the Lord. There's nothing in the presence of the Lord that is just sitting there. Nothing. There's no chair. Just sitting there. Anything in His presence is alive. The train of His robe filled the temple, and the idea was, whoa! I mean, it filled the temple. There was movement, there was color, there was glory. Seraphs stood above Him, each having six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they sang one to another. It's a song. They would be like, and Bob, we're going to love when we see all this. You know that, Bob. We're going to just love this stuff. I mean, they're singing each other. Oh, I mean, so better than anything we could ever sing, the sound of their voices. They would sing to one another. It's like, I can't contain myself anymore. I got it. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and isn't doing that. Oh, man. And all of a sudden you sing it back to me. And I can't sing. You know, I'm worshiping. Whoa.
Wings are flapping faster, you know. They're singing. This is what it is. This is the Lord, okay? And they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled. They trembled. They asked me in Peru, "What in the world is a?" They said, "The foundation of the thresholds. What's a threshold?" That was fun to explain to them. And I said, "Listen, at the sound of the voice of him who called out while the temple was filled with smoke, then I said," now watch what happens, "to a prophet, a man who's after God, but had never seen him, the first thing I notice," he said, "is, woe is me. I can't change me. I'm undone. I'm ruined. I have no power to change me. I cannot change me. It's not going to happen. And not only that, I'm a man of unclean lips." What do you mean, unclean lips? You think he's just out swearing all the time? No. It's that the words that come from my mouth are not exalting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm not worshiping. What I'm hearing here with the seraphs is worship, and my mouth doesn't do that. I have so many words come out of my mouth, and they're just unclean. Not only that, I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And you look at it, and he says, and I'll tell you, and I'll read out of mine, I just felt like doing it the second service. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and when he had taken the tongs from the altar, with it he touched my mouth, and he said, 'See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sins are now atoned for.'" You're now changed. What did he say? "I'm a man of unclean lips. I got stuff coming out. I'm just talking, but even my talk doesn't give glory to God. I don't talk with the joy of the Lord. I don't talk with the glory of God." What says whatever we learn later, and whatever you eat or drink or say or look at, do for the glory of God. And he says, "I didn't." And so whether you touched his lips, and I was a changed man. Who changed him? God Almighty. There's the beauty. All right, now watch this. So you think, Isaiah was written in 740 B.C. All right, that's a long time before Christ came. 740, Isaiah, and he's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. You need to know that. He says that in John. John says that. Isaiah said all this because he saw Jesus' glory. Who did he see? He saw Jesus' glory, and he spoke of him. Who's he looking at? Jesus' glory. We wonder about, we see this, and you've got to think the magnificence of God, the awesomeness of the Almighty, before there's a creation. That's why I said before the foundation of the world, "I loved you, I chose you. I have a design for you. I have something overwhelming." Colossians 1:15. "He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation." That's why John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." But he also goes on to say, when you look at this, and he says, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made." That means Lucifer, that means Gabriel, that means Michael, that means every angelic being. That means the altar that talks, that means the Ezekiel's wheel. I mean, everything you can imagine was made, and nothing was made that has been made without him. See, the vision of himself, the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the idea is the magnificence, the glory, which we hardly can understand until you see it. But you have to know that the one who's the crown, the glory, the magnificent one is going to let everyone know, "I'm going to humble myself and go to the cradle. I'm going to go to the cradle so I can go to the cross. I love you, and I know who I am. I am that I am. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. But I will humble myself. I will go to a cradle so I can go to a cross so I can redeem you. So you will want to know me, so that you would want to love me, that you would earnestly seek me with all your heart, and you will know I will never forsake you. I will never count your sins against you. I will present you blameless before me now and forever because of what I'm about to do." Whew. See, that's a Christmas story. That's a Christmas story. It was important for Isaiah to be presented with this vision. It was important. Why? Because if you don't understand the magnificence, if all you just think of is a little baby, you're not, and you can't picture what took place. Who in the world is this? What is going on? If you can't, you won't understand it won't impact your life. Our view of the Lord determines the direction of our lives. I think the reason my life was so radically changed is my view of God. I'm thinking, the Almighty died for me. He humbled himself. I mean, most of us won't humble ourselves to forgive somebody. We just can't get there. We're so stinking angry all the time, easily irritated. You know, I mean, good grief. I mean, I can't think how many times I used to tell people when I was a young man, very opinionated, I'd say, you know, if I was God, I'd just send them all to hell and start over. That'd be a graceful way to do it, wouldn't it? Well, every one of my friends think, man, I am so grateful you are not God. And I go, me too. Okay. Isaiah's vision of himself, woe to me, I am ruined. I said, I'm powerless. I can't change what I am. I cannot change what I am. What is I going to do? And he discovers that only God, only the magnificent, the glory that he saw, the train that he saw, the one he hears about, the one that's, here these beings, whatever they are, things are shaking as they sing one to another. And he goes, that's the one that will change me. Look at Isaiah 7:14. It'll be on here, on your screen for you. Therefore the Lord, well, who will do it? The Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord will give you a sign. What is the sign? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. A virgin will. I'm going to give you a sign for something. I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to go to the womb. And I'm so that I can go to the cradle, so that I can be raised among you, so I can go to the cross. My goal is to go to the cross. That's my goal. I'm here to go to the cross for you. I'm here. There is no, I mean, think of this. He's the Almighty. That's why he says, you know, to Philip, how, why do you want to say, show us, when Philip said, show us the Father, that's enough. And he said, Philip, I've been so long with you, do you not understand? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Who do you think I am? I did this. This is not, I didn't come here to start a religion. I didn't come here to start a belief system. I came here to let you experience life, which is himself. I've come to, you can't save yourself. I didn't come for a self-improvement program. I didn't come to make you better. I came to make you a new creation. There's the beauty. And what's the new creation? That you would earnestly seek him. Because once sin entered, not only, they used to walk with him in the cool of the garden. They would willingly want to, I can't wait for the Lord to make, let's walk in the cool of the garden. But once sin came, they hid themselves. They didn't want anything to do with him. And so grace comes so that we can do it. As Emmanuel, Emmanuel means with us is God. With us is God. For to us a child is born. We know that. That's why we have Christmas. To us a son is given. Okay. He's given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called. Listen to the words. We sang it. We just sang these things. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince. This is who he is. The Wonderful Counselor, Prudence and Wisdom. You know, after his lips were touched, Isaiah, the Holy Spirit used that man to speak everywhere and write these things down. Isaiah 55:6-9. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Go after him. There's no one like him. I told him when I came to know him, I said, I'm after you and you alone. You do whatever you want with me and I'll call it good. I don't care what it is. I don't want anything from you. I want you. I want you alone. That's why I tell people to read the Gospel of John 3 times as fast as they can out loud. I says, go after him. There's no one. I don't know how to describe it. Let the wicked, let them forsake their ways. Stop. And the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God and he will freely pardon. Because the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you begin, he's the mighty God. That's Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one that Isaiah says, woe is me, saying, I'm going to humble myself and go to the cradle. The everlasting Father, the eternal existing one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And the Prince of Peace. I love this about peace. It's harmony. He's the Prince of all harmony. He's the Prince of... Do you know that there is no upsetness there? There is no tension in the presence of God. There is a harmony. And I remember when I was thinking of doing this study on
righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, for that's the kingdom of God. He who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God. In what way? Righteous peace and joy. And peace is harmony. Harmony in your home. And that's what peace is. It's harmony. And I was asking Shelly, because she's a musician, what is harmony? What is that? And she talks about this vibrations and the symbolic vibrations. And she talks about this piano. And I came in here one day. She didn't even know this. And I tried this. You can hit a string on there. And then four or five strings over, the other, it starts vibrating. I didn't even touch it. I just hit one. And it started vibrating all on its own. I thought, what are you doing, dude? Are you two connected or something? Is there some kind of connection here? And I said, yeah, there is. And that's what it is. He is the Prince of Peace. What do you mean? I'm bringing you harmony with me. I brought harmony with me. So you want me. And now if you have harmony with me, you will have harmony in your home. Amen. I heard you. That's way cool. But I looked at this and I said, this is what God has called us to. Hostility is ended. A relationship can be restored. I was telling the guys in Peru, I said, about my dad and all that and how he used to just try to make tension. I said, Dad, you don't have any power to bring tension to me. There's no possible way you could bring tension to me. I mean, it's not even possible anymore because God has come into my life. So this is the one we see. And what does he do? He goes to the cradle. He chooses it. Bob and I were talking just a minute ago that how did the God of all who is everywhere do that? I mean, humble himself to start in a womb. I mean, I don't know. There's a magnificence there. But look at Luke 1, 26 through 33. In the sixth month, Elizabeth, a pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We know all these things. The angel went to her and said, and who is the angel? Gabriel. Who's Gabriel? He stands in the presence of God. Every time Gabriel shows up, the glory of the Lord is around him. Every time he shows up, the glory of the Lord. Now, he introduces himself, and he says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, watch what happens. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Hi, greetings to you, you know, and highly favored. She was troubled. As many as you were, some of you 8 years ago when I would greet you and I'd say, hey, you holy man of God, or ho, you holy woman of God. And you blah, 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 like, blah, blah. Well, many of you go, blah, blah, oh, I'm trying, or oh, blah, I'm not that. And I said, bummer, you're going to hell. You know, I mean, just let you know right now because you didn't even want to accept who you were. And I mean, when he comes up and greets her with the magnificence of who she is in the eyes of God. Who called her these things? Highly favored. Who called her all this? The Almighty. She was troubled in the words, and she wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, now look, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You, Mary, you are going to conceive and give birth to a son. And you're going to call him Jesus or Yeshua. You're going to call him this. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord. And man, she is going to find out she's being the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote after he was touched, after his sins were forgiven, what he would write when he said, God would tell him, listen, this is what's going to happen. A virgin's going to conceive and give birth to a son and he's going to be this. This is who he is. And now she's being told she's the one. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never, never end. See, if we needed something else, and this is why we needed a Savior, we needed a Lord, we needed a new nature, this is the beauty. If we needed information, he'd have sent us an educator. We didn't, that wasn't it. If our solution would have been technology, which man, we've got it today, God would have sent us a scientist. If it was money, he would have sent us an economist. If it was pleasure, which we got plenty of, he would have sent us an entertainer. But our need was that our sin. See, we're born in this sin nature. And I told the people in Peru when I was talking with the security guards in the Air Force, I said, now, you're born with a sin nature, okay? Who taught you? What school did you go to learn how to lie? What school did you go to learn how to be irritated? Who taught you how to throw your first fit?
Who's the one that as you grew up into a young man taught you how to lust in a wrong, everything wrongly? Who taught you how to steal? Who taught you how to be jealous? What school did you go to learn these things? You went to no school. It's your nature. I said, now God comes in, and when he gives you faith to receive his grace, he gives you a new nature. Now the foundation is righteousness. Now I have a new nature, and righteousness is here. That's why Christ came. That's why the crown to the cradle, to go to the cross, so that I would have righteousness. That's why the Word of God, that all Scripture is God-breathed. So why? So that the Word would teach me, rebuke me, correct me, and train me in righteousness. So all of a sudden, as time goes on, forgiveness is what I am. Or love and compassion is who I am. All of a sudden, it made a totally different marriage for us, for Karen and I, when this happened. I mean, a completely different ballgame for us in how you treat people. So this is what is happening. So you begin to look at this, and you think, okay, what is God doing with us now? The whole idea of the cradle was the beginning of fulfillment God's promise as a mediator. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is the beauty of who we are. This Christmas, be overwhelmed that you say, what are you doing this Christmas? We are a family seeking earnestly our Lord. We are earnestly. If we open a present, I open the present to the glory of the God. If I cook a meal or eat a meal, I cook it, I eat it to the glory of God. If I go shopping and I'm in that gigantic car lot looking for a space, I'll park that car for the glory of God. If someone else says something less because they don't know the glory of God, I will give the glory of God as a blessing to them. Not because I should, but because it's who I have become. And so you see the beauty of what God has done for us. God's plan has always been a Savior. Look at Luke 2, 8 through 11. I think it's up there too. Let's see if we got it. Yep, there it is. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now I'm going to tell you, I doesn't say this, don't know, but I think it was Gabriel, just the same one that went to Mary. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. And this is why. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. All right? The glory of the Lord's always with him because he stands in his presence. And they were. And what was their response? They were nervous. No, they were terrified. They had the same impact. The same thing happened to them as what happened to Isaiah. I am terrified. When he said, woe is me, I am terrified. I shouldn't be here. I am completely undone. They were terrified. But the angel, just like he said to Mary, said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So you've got his crown. He removed that to go to the cradle so he could go to the cross. Look at Matthew 16, 21 through 23, just two verses there. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And that he must be killed on the third, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, never, no. He said, this shall never, never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to him, oh, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Why are you a stumbling block? You do not have your mind on the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Sin is always on a human concern. Righteousness is always God's. How can I give glory to God today? How can I bless you today? Not because I should. It's what I've become. It's who I am. I can't help myself. All of a sudden, you become aware of people's emotions. You become aware of how you're looking at them. You become aware of it's not just your words, it's your tones, because your whole facial expression is communicating something. See, the beauty of this is the essence. Sometimes we think of sin as things we go do. No, the things we're doing in sin are nothing but fruit.
It just comes out, boop, this way, and a lie or whatever else, or jealousy or anger or whatever it may be, lust over here, and all those kinds of things. I said, but sin ultimately is a rebellion. It's a rebellion. It's literally to doubt. God says, you know, don't eat of that tree. Sin says, why not? Says, this will kill you. I don't believe that. You think that'll kill you? You got to be kidding. It says, you will die on that day. No, you won't die. You'll be like God. It's always the opposite. It's always the opposite. And all of a sudden in Christ, what happens? Righteousness has been given back so that I can now be in the presence of God and earnestly seek Him. When sin came, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid themselves. That's what sin always does. So instead of hiding myself, now I'm openly looking for God. I'm openly aware of His presence. I have sin wants total control, and it can never be in the presence of God. That's why Moses couldn't, when he said, I want to see you, he said, you can't. You can't come into my presence. My presence would destroy you completely. So I am going to do something. I'm going to come into your presence and be a man like you so I can go to the cross, so I destroy sin and death. And I promise you, one day I will take death and I will take hell and I will throw it in a lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever and ever, and you will never see it again. And it will never touch you. That is the beauty of what Christ has done, to reconcile us to God and men. Therefore, He dealt with sin with His Son. He did this for us. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Why the cross of Christ and His plan? Because the soul, the very soul of man, is precious. Now, I have to, Dr. Warren Frankel and I do a lot of jaw jacking together, and every time we do, he's my doctor, and he's also the head of His Hands, but we just love the Lord a lot, so we're always talking about the joy of the Lord, and I'm always talking to him, and I was sharing with him because of what God had done in Peru, and so he said to me, do you know what I'm doing? I gotta get this out of here. He goes, I got to learn how to do this phone. He said, I was listening to Christmas songs the other day, Gus, and I was just thinking about you. And I said, what's that? And he said, Oh, Holy Night. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, so I got a hold of Shelly, and I said, can you get me the words to Oh, Holy Night? And would you know in a nanosecond she sent it to my phone? I was thinking something completely different. You know what I was thinking of? She's probably going to put a printed copy on my desk. Nobody puts a printed copy of Diddly Squat on your desk. So I thought, oh, I'm going to be like Mike today. So let me give this to you. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, holy nights, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Now, watch this. Long lay the world in sin. Long lay the world in sin. And e'er pining till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. The beauty is that when you come and understand from the crown to the cradle to the cross, the magnificence, you feel your worth. The soul felt its worth. What do you mean? Condemnation over. I felt my worth. I felt loved. All of a sudden, I didn't have to prove myself anymore. All of a sudden, I didn't have to defend myself anymore. All of a sudden, I didn't have to get irritated anymore. Immediately, I don't know how God does it. He took the condemnation away. The soul felt its worth. It felt its love. It felt the compassion of the Almighty. That's what this means. That God would come into you and I and to change us. And who are we now? We are righteous men and women in Jesus Christ. What are we after? We're after the Lord. We tell everyone, there's no one like the Lord. I just finished writing a book, and Lord willing, I thought it was going to be done by December. It's not, it'll be February. But the title of the book is, If There Is a God. If There Is a God. And the subtitle is, Would You Want to Know Him? That's the whole point. There's no one like Him. And all of a sudden, when you do, the soul feels its worth. It's a love story accomplished. 1 Peter 2:24. He Himself bore our sins. He bore our sins in His body. The one, when He went to the cradle, He took on a body so He could go to the cross and on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for, look at the Scripture. Look at the Scripture. Live for what? Righteousness. The new life. By His wounds I have been healed. And the Almighty, this one humbled Himself. In fact, I always think about the humbling.
It says when he created the Isaiah says, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created like a tent to dwell in. And it says he humbled himself and came into the tent. Can you imagine? This is a pretty big tent. He humbled himself. And then he humbled himself and went to the cradle. Then he humbled himself and went to the cross. Because your soul was worth. Isn't that beautiful? You are dearly loved. Don't ever think anything different. Do not ever think that you are not loved. You are dearly loved. There's no one like you. You are a special gift to a world, a special gift to your family, and you are a special gift of God. So our band's going to come up and lead us in a song. It's a beautiful song. You'll really, really enjoy it. So would you stand with us? And we're going to let us sing. It says whatever we do, we can do to the glory of God. You've seen the crown. You've heard a little bit about that, this story of God's love for us, the magnificence of who he is, to go to the cradle, to go to the cross for you and I at this Christmas time. So now, let him reveal himself and let us sing to him to the glory of his name.